The reporting and the resources behind all the stories you hear on WSHU depend on the sustained energy of people who care, people like you. I'm WSHU News Director Terry Sheridan, and your investments in WSHU Public Radio help us face reporting challenges and meet them effectively, providing important information and ideas. Thank you for listening and for supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Long Island Trump supporters lined up early this morning ahead of a rally at Nassau Coliseum. Yale New Haven Health says a health equity plan during COVID was a success. Plus, the latest from WSHU's Off the Path. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Supporters of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump began lining up early this morning outside the Nassau Coliseum ahead of tonight's rally. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio was there.
The Trump campaign says more than 60,000 people requested tickets for the campaign event that kicks off at 7 p.m. But Nassau Coliseum only seats about 16,000. Large screens have been set up in the parking lots to allow visitors to watch the rally from outside. Demonstrations were scheduled for a First Amendment zone nearby. Police have set up checkpoints and closed off roads surrounding the Coliseum. Hofstra University and Nassau Community College canceled afternoon classes. A spokesperson for the Nassau County Police Department says early reports about explosives being found near the rally were unfounded. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Yale New Haven Health's mortality rate was 34% lower than the national average. The hospital now credits its early adoption of a health equity plan. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports.
Yale New Haven Health doctors say they developed uniform algorithmic protocols for treating patients in the early days of the pandemic. Dr. Benjamin Mabah is the vice chair of DEI in the Yale Department of Internal Medicine. He says the protocols resulted in significantly lower mortality rates across all racial and ethnic groups.
We postulate that some of that adherence to algorithms actually removed some implicit bias that may have come in from providers.
Yale New Haven Health and the School of Medicine hosted a summit to share their strategies with colleagues from across the country on Wednesday. Mabah says he hopes they will be able to implement them more broadly, outside of COVID-19 care. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
A report found that many Connecticut homeless shelter employees struggle with housing insecurity themselves. WSHU's Caitlin Luba reports.
Bridgeport-based nonprofit, The Housing Collective, published a report that shows a significant percentage of shelter employees experienced housing insecurity in recent years. The report shows over 20% of frontline staff in Fairfield County were at risk of losing their housing in the past 2 years, and more than half responded that they struggled to pay bills. The report also highlights a lack of training for these employees. Nearly 15% of respondents have felt unprepared at work, and over 40% said they would benefit from proper training. The Housing Collective recommends increasing staff wages as a first step before considering other systemic changes. Caitlin Luba, WSHU News.
Pirates were welcome in Newport, Rhode Island in the 1600s. In fact, they were celebrated because they brought wealth to the city. It's part three of Off the Path's Newport series. That and more is ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthCare.org.
The New York State Board of Elections says it received mail this week containing a suspicious substance at a time when election workers nationwide are under increasing threat. A spokesperson for the FBI's Albany office says the agency is investigating the incident along with a series of other suspicious mailings sent to election officials in several states.
service to the Waterbury branch is expected to be restored by mid-November after heavy flooding in late August washed out a stretch of Metro North's New Haven line. The storm also damaged a section of track in Seymour near Kinneytown Dam. Officials say repairs will take several weeks longer than the initial month-long construction project. Best-selling author Nelson DeMille died yesterday at the age of 81. WSHU's Isabella Fabo reports DeMille had deep connections to Long Island.
DeMille was a Long Island native. He went to high school in Nassau County and attended Hofstra University. His career spanned nearly six decades. He wrote crime and suspense thrillers, and many took place on Long Island. He used his connections as inspiration for some stories, like The Maze, the eighth book in his John Corey series.
I based it on a true crime, which was the Gilgo Beach murders here on Long Island. I'm kind of local, so I was intimately involved. Not involved. I had knowledge of the case through police, who I know were my sources.
DeMille also served as a lieutenant in the United States Army and earned a Bronze Star in Vietnam before writing. His time overseas was also used for content in his work. His most popular works include The Gold Coast and The General's Daughter, which was made into a movie starring John Travolta. Isabella Fabo, WSHU News.
Pirates were welcome in Newport, Rhode Island in the 1600s. They were celebrated, in fact, because they brought wealth to the city. But that all changed when one of the most terrifying pirates in history started robbing ships right at Newport's doorstep. WSHU's Davis Donovan concludes the saga of Newport's pirate history for the podcast Off the Path, which this season we're calling Off the Plank. And just a warning, these pirate exploits are gruesome and may warrant listener discretion.
The seas around Newport were plagued by a pirate named Ned Lowe in the early 1700s. Of all the pirates we've talked about this season, Ned's by far the most brutal. No one comes close.
He was sadistic, he was vile, he was bloodthirsty, and a horrible person to run into.
That's historian Gloria Merchant, author of a book about the pirates of Newport. Most other pirates wouldn't kill people unless they had to, but Ned Lowe enjoyed it. He tortured his prisoners, burned them alive, and decapitated them. He once made a captive eat his own lips. Yeah, eat his own lips. Ned Lowe shows up in a few contemporary pirate TV shows. The dark drama Black Sails has him mercilessly massacre captives on a ship he's just stolen.
Oh no, please.
And the pirate comedy, Our Flag Means Death, portrays him as a deranged violinist who tortures people to classical music. Not historically accurate, by the way.
Why are you doing this?
Because, my love, I'm still a musician at heart. Yeah! God, that was a beautiful pitch. That was really nice.
Ned Lowe and his crew were sailing near Block Island, about 25 miles from Newport, when they saw what they thought was a whaling ship, and they attacked. It was actually a Royal Navy ship. There was a dramatic battle. Lowe had backup from his second ship, the Ranger, captained by his second-in-command, Charles Harris.
Ned Lowe escaped. Captain Harris and his crew were captured, and the Ranger was brought to Newport. They were jailed in Newport.
Not so long ago, pirates had been welcome in Newport, as long as they brought money from their far-off conquests. But this was a different time. Newporters didn't want pirates attacking near them. 26 pirates were sentenced to death by hanging. The city set up a gallows at the edge of the water.
And you see this little spit of land here? There's Gravelly Point.
Tour guide Patricia Drislane has led me all the way down the wharf in downtown Newport to a patch of grass where the land meets the water. This is where the executions took place, starting at high noon.
And by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, all 26 pirates were deceased, with their black pirate flag wafting in the breeze.
And now we see a lobster shack, a hotel, and some condos. And a few hundred feet into the water is Goat Island, with a luxury resort, a marina, and more condos. Oh, and somewhere on that island are the bodies of Charles Harris and his crew.
And it is said that those 26 pirates were buried on the north end of Goat Island between the marks for high tide and low tide so that their spirits would never come to rest.
Ever since, the island has been full of lore about ghosts. As for Ned Lowe, he disappeared from history. Some say his crew mutinied and set him adrift. Others say he was captured and hung by the French in Martinique, or he might have died in a storm in the Caribbean. The National Maritime Museum in London says he was never caught, that he lived to a ripe old age in Brazil and died a peaceful death, unlike most people who ran into him on the high seas. This is Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And this election year, we are asking you to set the agenda for what issues candidates discuss. Working with our partners over at America Amplified, we have a quick and easy form you can fill out to tell us what you'd like to know. We'll find out the answer and share it with you. So visit WSHU's website. You can scroll down a little bit and then click on elections and tell us how we can help. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I will speak to you tomorrow.